Thank you. We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And this is for October 4th, I'm sorry. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorrance, Waverly, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held September 20th, 2023. Approve all claims through October 4th, 2023 in the amount of $965,892.96. Accept number 2310-0060 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $9,320.45. Claim number 2323-100061 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., in the amount of $41.29. And claim number 2310-0065 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $54,376.98 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids on Gage County 2023 culvert projects. Bids to be opened on November 1st, 2023 at 9:15 a.m. Approve certificate of cost allocation plan for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022 and authorizing the chairman to sign. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of September 2023. Approve one-year extension to the EMS agreements with year ending in June 30th, 2024. That was tricky.
Yeah.
Oh, I did, didn't I? I wanted to see his pain.
Start
attention.
And stop at the same time.
With year end of June 30th, 2024.
Just once.
Ms. Haxby.
I would move to amend the consent agenda on number one on the general agenda. I move to add a closed session at the end for employee relations HR.
Well, we can put it on for personnel just before adjournment. Motion to approve. Is that a motion to approve with that amendment?
Yes.
Second.
Second by motion by Haxby, second by Swavely. Any other items? Pull off. If not, please vote. Seven in favor. Consent agenda is approved with the addition of a closed session. Approve or disapprove claim number 2310-0061 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $41.29.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor with Mr. Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2310-0060 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $9,320.45. And claim number 2310-0065 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $54,376.98. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through October 4th, 2023 to $1,029,631.68. These are two companies I'm associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely. Second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors. Please give your name, sir, and name and address just for the record.
Ralph M. Bodie, 70688-606 Avenue, Liberty, Nebraska, 68381. Good morning. I'd like to talk about the mortgage lifters of Nebraska. They've always been hogs. To remove the mortgage payments for the betterment of those living on the land. Now, we see that we don't have those anymore because there's no market in a hog market unless you have a confinement center, which is wicked. Now, you all must understand that that process also destroys the subsoil and the water table with antibiotics, as happened in northern Missouri, and with nitrogen that's happened above the Platte River. Now, the federal government's allowed this opportunity to empower the Chinese for some reason, the Chinese government, you know, the communist government, which means nothing to us, I guess, because the federal government said it. But it means something to all of us. We don't have to require the communist government to come in here and set up hog operations that confined and damage the water table. It's not right, and it should never be right. We're going to see this continue, and I can assure you, you're going to be sorry if you vote for this process to be reoccurring in Gage County, as it is in Pawnee County. They didn't even call the press, and they voted it in for four plants in Table Rock area. I think that's insipid. I can't believe anybody would do that to the people of Pawnee County. And if you continue to process this part intact, we're going to have big problems in the future. Because when the water table is destroyed, what are you going to do? I don't care if it's nitrogen or antibiotics. It's been done, and it's going to continue. It won't change. We need to take the action that's appropriate here. And I pray that you'll take that right action and say no to this hog operation at North of Liberty. It's not right, and it never will be. And you know your folks, I remember my folks talking to me about the hog operations, you know, and the mortgage lifters, how important they were to everybody. Now, there's nothing left. I took my hogs up 2 years ago or so, and I only got like 15 cents on the dollar for my hogs. Now, there's no market for them. You know why? Because the Chinese have taken that market over. They own the Smithfield in Missouri and many other places and in Crete, and they're going to continue to destroy us thanks to the federal government for allowing it to happen. It should have never happened. We fought communism in Cuba. We fought communism in Vietnam. How many of you served in Vietnam? Anybody here? Well, I served during the Vietnam era, and I can assure you it wasn't right to lose 50,000 men and then ask the Chinese communist government to come to this land and do what they're doing to us. It's not right. So wake up, gentlemen and ladies, that we take the right action and get the right thing done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else like to speak? Name and address for the record, please, sir.
Steve McDowell, 506 Warren Street, Liberty, Nebraska. What I want to address is the road. We call it the road in Liberty now. It's a big issue of what all the facts are according to this road. I travel this road Monday and Tuesday each week, 5 o'clock in the morning. I work on a farm north of Liberty. I'm retired, but I do work because I can, because my generation did, and I'm proud of it. I also served in Vietnam. I also retired as law enforcement. But the road issue here, and we like facts. We all like facts. I have eyes. I can see. I drive this road. Yesterday at 2:30, I drove this road. I could not cross that bridge the same time a UPS truck was coming down it. So I'm being told that this road is so safe. If we're driving this road in August, September, it's not too bad. But we're driving this road after 2-inch rain, or January or February with some ice, some snow. It's a different factor. All I'm asking is tell the truth about the road. Not you people, but who's saying this about the road is tell the truth about the thing. It's not that great a road. I've seen rain come east to west, put ruts in the same road. This road is not to be traveled by semi-loads of hogs. All I'm asking is to address the issue, to fix the thing before somebody does get hurt on this. There's school buses, like I say, the UPS truck. I stopped. I couldn't pass that, cross that bridge at the same time. And I have a 208 Chevy Silverado. I don't have a semi-load of hogs going over this road. And I've seen the bottom draws of ice, mud, ruts, rain. Like I say, I work north of town. I travel this road twice a week. I'm just saying, address the road before anything goes any farther. There's a problem with this road, and you know what road I'm talking about. That's what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Please give your name and address for the record, ma'am.
Lonnie McDowell, 506 Warren Street, Liberty, Nebraska. I don't really have a fancy speech or a bunch of numbers or statistics or anything, but I just wanted to voice my opinion on this because I'm very passionate about this. When my husband came home a couple months ago and said they're going to put a hog confinement out north of Liberty, I'm like, what are you even talking about? This was like 2 weeks before the first meeting was supposed to take place. So first of all, I'm like, why haven't I heard about this? Why haven't people heard about this? This is a big, major deal. This is not some little thing happening. This is major. Involves a lot of people. So I'm like, so that was a red flag. Why didn't I know about this? Another thing that concerned me was a half a mile from a residence. I was like, what? So they measured from the out at rules. They measured from the foundation of their house out a half a mile. Are you kidding me now? Maybe you guys want a big hog farm in your backyard. My husband and I lived by a hog confinement about 7 miles away in South Dakota. And most of the time, it was like in our backyard. So I've been there and I've done that. And maybe it's been a few years ago, but nobody's going to convince me that there are not going to be smell, flies, and all kinds of issues. I will never believe that. Some people have lived here their whole entire lives. Chris and Sonia Rule spent money to move a house in there. It's going to be a half a mile away from this. If you think about a half a mile is nothing. It's like at the end of their lane, for crying out loud. Same thing with Barnard's out there. People can't sleep right now down in our area because we are so concerned about this. It's a big, big thing. You know, so why do we want to let these corporate hog farms come in to our community to make them money? It benefits nobody around Liberty. It benefits nobody in our community. And I know there's a lot of money to be made off of these things, even for Gage County. Well, you can't even go down hardly any street here in Beatrice that there isn't construction. So I know that business, too. My husband and I moved here 7 years ago. We chose to move here. We have family here in Beatrice, so we'd been down here probably for 15 years coming to visit. We like the state. We like the area. We like the people. We found a place in Liberty, Nebraska, which is even smaller than where we were in South Dakota. But we like that area. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. That's where we chose to move and live. I did not move here to have a corporate hog farm a mile and a half away from my home. So I hope that you take all of our things that we have to say into consideration, because this won't stop, and you probably all know that better than me. When these corporate businesses start moving into an area, they don't stop until they're stopped. So I ask that you think about that. And the water, and the road. I've been down that road. I'm not even smart, right? But I know that road is okay right now. Like my husband said, he couldn't even pass a UPS truck. What? I've been on that road. It might be okay today, but what about January, February, March? school buses going down there, kids driving down. No. I hope that you take all this very serious, and I hope you've investigated the other places where these farms have been. I have investigated them. And you're here to take into consideration citizens' opinions and facts and what people have to say in this matter. So I hope you think about it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Morning, Mr. Rule.
Good morning. My name is Clint Rule. I'm from Liberty, Nebraska, and I have some concerns. I know you guys are busy, and you probably haven't had a chance to go over all this information that's been presented, so I'll highlight some of the things that are of concern. And the first one is on this page, to all planning and zoning commissioners and Gage County supervisors. There are 33 tile inlets included in sites 1, 2, and 3 on the Island Grove hog CAFO being proposed. There's 0.72 acres for setback on tile inlets. The inlets are not accounted for in the proposed 484 acres from Dean Otto. From the inlet risers, there would be 23.76 acres taken off from the tile inlets or risers of the 484 acres. Plus 7 acres, more or less, for the building sites. There are 4 well sites taking away acres. There are 3 ponds involved within 100 feet, setbacks also losing acres, and at least 3 streams. This means there are not enough acres to meet 480 acres. All runoff from Site 1 will be going into Rockford Lake with antibiotics and disinfectants from the hog building. This will cause great health and safety issues for whoever uses Rockford Lake. We could be having a situation. We ask that all these issues be carefully considered for the health and safety of all involved. We, as citizens of our small community of Liberty, will greatly appreciate your careful consideration in reviewing the material. And again, please consider the health and well-being of all individuals this hog CAFO will effect.
Hey, Clint, hold on a second. Roger, I got a question. We have discussion on for CAFOs later in the agenda. If Clint's going through this stuff now, are we going to be able to discuss what he's talking about later on in the agenda if he brings it up now?
You don't have an action item. This is a discussion on CAFOs. I don't know what that is.
We were just going to, the idea on that was just so that we could talk about anything before our public hearing next week and go over any information that we have this week.
That's not a good idea.
To take up, please?
To talk to him.
Not to talk about it this week before the public hearing.
Well, the thing is, if you got a specific question or something, you can address that to me. But as far as just having general discussion prior to a public hearing, the rules, I mean, the P&Z's already got their guidelines and the regulations here.
Okay, that wasn't my intention. My intention was just...
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying I understand you want to get general discussion.
Better not to do that before public
hearing. So let him carry on with this and then it later. Then. Okay.
I would do that just from the standpoint, I don't know if Mr. Rule knew about this item on the agenda. But when we get to that, we can talk about it, but that's something to think about.
Okay, that was unintentional. I just thought had discussion.
Sorry to interrupt you, Clint. I just, we were going to have that later, I wanted to be able to talk about it. If this caused a problem, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I can continue?
Yes, sir.
Please. Okay. And the Lower Big Blue was also concerned about some of this. There's a letter here from the Lower Big Blue that was addressed to Patrick Ducey, and this was dated July 12th before they made their recommendation on this permit. And it says, to whom it may concern, The district has reviewed the application for a permit and construction and operation, a concentrated animal feeding operation for Summit Pork. In reviewing this application, the district provides the following comments for your consideration regarding the location of the manure land application fields, as well as on surface water and groundwater quality in this area. Plum Creek Watershed Detention Dam 3H was built in 1967 and is one of 32 floodwater retarding dams built in Gage and Pawnee counties as part of the Plum Creek Watershed Project. The 12-acre surface reservoir has a contributing watershed of approximately 166.87 acres and is dominated by agricultural land use. That would be the land of the hog farm. The Lower Big Blue Natural Resources District has a perpetual easement for the permanent and temporary storage of flood water. A map of Plum Creek Watershed Detention 3H and delineated drainage areas acres is also included with this letter. The Site 3 in this nutrient management plan upon which waste is to be applied directly drains into the above referenced structure. It is our understanding that no application of waste can be applied within 100 feet of any groundwater or surface water. Ultimately, the district seeks strict adherence to the nutrient management plan, such as contamination to groundwater and surface water is reduced or prevented entirely. Please take these conditions into consideration when determining the appropriate management plan for the operation of the concentrated animal feeding operation. And then there is a map that shows the said pond, and on the back side of that there is how many acres that goes up into this auto farm, and it takes away approximately a fourth of the acres that he says he has available to put this on. And then if we go into our permit, if you go to bullet number 002.09B2, it says they're going to be putting on 4,962.2 gallons of slurry per acre. And then turn back a page to bullet number 002.09B5. It says 12,467 gallons of manure per acre to be applied over a five-year period.
Mr. Rule, I don't mean to interrupt you. This is stuff that I was just informed by council. This is kind of getting in depth here. These will be items that we would like you to present at the public hearing at our next meeting on the 18th.
Okay.
I don't mean to cut you off now. The board has talked. I guess I can. I'm not discussing. I'm just going to give what we're planning to do.
Basically, again, the public comment is for stuff that's not on the agenda.
Could you this, but up a little bit louder, please?
Okay.
Please?
Yes, sir.
I've asked you that a half a dozen times over the last couple months. That's called a microphone.
I'll leave that alone. It is set for the agenda on the 18th, okay? You're getting into some pretty detailed stuff, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying I think it's better when we have the whole public here that's been called for and notified about the meeting. That way both sides get an opportunity to hear your input and can respond to it.
Okay. Well, this was going into Rockford Lake is where I was going with this, because Rockford Lake will be accepting the slurry from this hog CAFO, but with that, I'll let it go.
Yeah, and again, basically, what he had in the past, people come up and say, I'm in favor of it, I'm against it, here's why. Keep it very general and wait for the public hearing. Now, once we have the public hearing, then that's a different deal. So.
Okay.
Now, it was requested also that we vote the same day on the 18th as the public hearing. I brought that to the board Monday this week. Our precedent has always been to wait at least 2 weeks afterwards. We looked if we were going to change that at all. There's another public hearing that same day, and the board declined to change that policy at this time. So the vote will not occur on the 18th also, in case there's new information that comes up so that we can investigate that. But as counsel said, just to be fair to both sides, any information being presented.
Okay.
We do appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rule. Please excuse my voice. I'm a little raspy this morning. Would anyone else like to come up and speak at public comment this morning?
On the CAFO?
On the CAFO, yes, sir. Please come up. Would you give your name and address for the
record? Don Wade, Liberty, Nebraska, 706 Wayne Street. I'm supposedly retired. I've got a few questions. We've been listening to these people talk about this operation and haven't been able to really grill anybody and find out anything. But I understand this operation is going to use up 480 acres, four of which they're going to build the buildings on. And I got to thinking, and I looked up Nebraska, and I see where there's 49,503,000 acres. And this is the only place they can find to set up this operation outside of Liberty, a mile and a half from Liberty. 4 acres are going to have the buildings. The other is going to be for the slurry spread. No other place in Nebraska. They just sat down, looked at a map, and said, by golly, boy, this is a real chop buster. We just can't find... Oh, here we go. Liberty. Well, how big is Liberty? Well, 31. Except somebody dies every month, so we're down to about 24. It's about 2 miles from our wells, and we've had a spike in nitrogen in our wells the last time our water was tested. But as some sage here said somewhere, that, oh, well, that water doesn't flow that fast. Well, it probably doesn't flow as fast as the big muddy out here, but it's still going to flow into our wells eventually. We're only 2 miles away. Plus, there's a couple people that live right across from the operation now. As I said to one person, a couple people in Liberty, I says, well, what do you think this is going to do to your the value of your property? And one woman said to me, believe it or not, I don't care. Okay. Then I spoke to another person, and I says, what do you think about this hog operation? And he said, well, it doesn't affect me. Okay. As I maintain, this will ruin some people's lives in this room. Now, they talk about the technology of handling this manure. They've got what I've never been in one of these operations, so, you know, I don't know. But they say they're going to have a screen or a grill above this operation. Below is a great big tank. The pigs defecate, that goes into the tank. It's an open tank system in that building. Well, let me tell you something. The stuff that comes up from that slurry is methane. It's toxic. But apparently they're going to have enough fans to blow it out of the confinement area. Why can't they put a slab on top of those open tanks and make it a methane digester? It's not like it's new technology. Dairy farms do it all the time, an enclosed tank. And they can use the methane to generate heat for whatever they need on their premises. Like I say, dairies do it. Then we had the dirt road. I've been up and down the dirt road. You can't drive on it when it rains. Forget about that. That's a good deal. That's probably why they picked it. Somebody mentioned in the last conversation we had or meeting that it would create or affect 3,500 jobs. Yeah, I'll bet it'll affect 3,500 jobs. These operations can't have more than two or three people. They're going to have a great big building. It's going to be an aisle. There's going to be pens on the left and on the right. They take a machine, they take a tractor and a tank, and they drive down there and dump the grain on the ground or in a trough, just like they do for dairy cows. There isn't going to be any labor. They're going to get a robot for $50,000. No workman's comp, no Social Security, no complaints, no minimum wage. So it isn't going to employ 3,500 people. It may affect 3,500 people, I'm sure. It's going to affect me, and it's going to affect some of these people back here and him. Our wells are 2 miles from this operation. 2 miles. Now, you folks had an opportunity to put a wind farm in Gage County. You turned that down. I'm not a big fan of wind, but what the heck? It's a little bit cleaner than this operation, and you turned it down. So, I don't know. If you pass this by and didn't okay a wind farm, I don't know what your priorities are.
Sir, this would delve on to things we'd like you to say at the public comment or the public hearing next meeting.
Okay,
as well.
Fine. Well, that's all I have to say. I just kind of puzzled as to how in all of Nebraska they can. This is the only place they can find to put it. 49 million acres, folks. 49,503,000 acres. And this is where they picked. This is where Otto comes for his operation. I know why he came here, because he's got 4 acres that he's going to sell for $70,000 to put the buildings up on. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate that.
And like I say, I would invite all of you to come back at our next meeting as well, because there will be the public hearing where both sides can be there. We do want this information.
I would love to have the other side there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to come up for public comment? Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. Patty Barnard, 41928 South 176th Road, Liberty.
Patty, can I stop you for 1 second?
Mm-hmm.
We had a timed event at 9:15. I would ask for anyone that has any bids here. It's 9:17 on the clock. Does anyone else have any a bid to submit for snow removal? If not, I'll ask for a motion to close bidding at 9:17 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely. Second by Lytle. Please vote. 7 in favor. And we will come back to opening the bids after public comment. Sorry, that's just procedural, so we do this right, but
can
go ahead and continue.
Can I give each of you?
Yes, ma'am.
I know you've got
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I won't go over
Thank you.
All of this, but I have given this to the PNG.
Thank you.
And all thoughts are, I don't think they reviewed it, and they didn't give us any answers.
Thank you.
So we're hoping for more information from you. It's the moratorium we presented to them on August 25th. But we did not hear anything back from the from Lisa or the board. There were several regulations and maps that were incorrect, and to our knowledge, they were not corrected also. Last week, Plant and I both visited with Senator Dorn. He called me about 3 times, and he was down and looked at our road. His response was, this road is not safe. If anybody can tell, that is not a safe road. Also, the bridge, we really couldn't understand. One time, the bridge was not okay for the longest time. Now it is okay. Well, I talked to, and Clint talked to another gentleman. We both called at the DOT, and I do have written information from him, but that weight limit on the bridge is 32 ton, and the sign means that's the total gross weight of any vehicle or vehicle combination can only be a maximum of 32 ton or 64,000 pounds. That bridge will not withhold anything over 32 ton for 64,000 tons, or 64,000 pounds, excuse me. And that did come from one of the DOT officers. So I think there should be more. I know that the roads, the county roads guy and with Manili, that was checked out, I think, through that. But this is what the DOT said, that it is not capable of holding up to those big trucks. Another question was brought to our attention, and we were told that we should find out for sure, not knowing, but I don't know if Terry farms or rents any ground, if you have anything to do with Summit or Livingston renting ground or farm ground. And they said, if so, you know, then that would be a claim for conflicting interest in voting. And we don't know. We were just supposed to ask.
He can't respond to your questions.
Yeah. And just so that's what was brought to our attention, Terry. So they just said then that would be. Let's see. There would be. I think that's. Oh, also the site of the bridge or of the site of the hog settlement site. Dick and I have looked at we've looked at a lot of hog places around, and we've looked at the one over that's coming up in Jefferson County, and that one, and then the one in Hanover, and we've looked at another one in Jefferson County also, but none of them are in a site like this one. I mean, everyone says, how in the world, that has to be the most awful site that how they decided to put it there, because the others are out in the middle of nowhere. This is not, and plus the others that we've looked at, the nearest residence is maybe under a mile. We have got two people, including ourselves, we're just a little over a half mile, and Chris and Sonia are closer than we are. And then there's about four others that are within a mile, but not much more than that. None of the others we looked at had that. So that is really concerning to me, and of course I don't want that. I guess, first of all, and we'll do the rest of our hearing, but I do ask that as our county representatives, you be more receptive to the citizens, ourselves, who voted for you, to help us and not the corporate farmers or the corporate interests, because it brings nothing to our community. So appreciate it, but I do hope you do look over those papers and with the bridge. I mean, I know, I'm sure the gentleman that told me about that cannot be wrong. So thank you.
Mrs. Barner. Would anyone else like to speak in the public comment? Over here first. Okay.
My name is Brian Boyarco, and I live at 708 Warren Street in Liberty, Nebraska.
Would you spell your last name, please, sir?
It's Boyarko. Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. So I take a different view than a lot of my neighbors concerning this CAFO. I mean, it's, you know, just been a reality that's been thrown at us. And I have an engineering background. And so I kind of think of it like, well, is there any way that you can put 6,000 hogs into an area the size of a football field and not create a lot of problems? And I really don't believe there is. But in your in the NDEE, under best management practices, they say, schedules of activities, prohibitions, maintenance procedures, and other management practices found to be the most effective methods based on the best available technology available for specific sites to prevent or reduce the discharge of pollutants to waters and control odors where appropriate. So best technology available. And then it says down here, I got to go down, selection of size and type of facility to minimize odors and facilitate the management of waste. And Don, the gentleman here, he was talking about an anaerobic digester. And this is the way of the future for this industry. Smithfield is putting it in all of their large operations. There's some large operations in northern Missouri that are doing it. And this is not dairy. A lot of people tell me, oh, well, only dairy does that. No, these are swine operations. And if you're above, according to the EPA, if you're above 2,500 head, it's worth it to put a digester in, and it'll pay itself back in 5 to 10 years. And the reason that it will do that, if you have a scraped manure collection system and there's types of digesters that can be applied to this application. And I did some calculations on the one that they're proposing out here. And if you were to put a digester on that plant, it would produce 16 million BTUs thermal energy a day, each day. And if you converted that to electricity, it'd be 1,500 kilowatt hours of electricity every day, which is quite a bit of power. Now, they were talking about how in their carcass disposal, the gas was going to be expensive. The biogas that you would get out of a digester would help alleviate some of that. And it would unload the grid. You wouldn't be using that electrical energy. You could use that electrical energy to power the entire operation. And when you run this waste through a digester, it decreases drastically the odor. Your odor problem would be greatly reduced, and it also prevents pathogens from being put out into the environment.
Mr. Boyalcourt, not to rush you, but these are items for our public hearing as well.
Okay.
A lot of times these are public comments, a time for us to bring things onto the agenda, onto a future agenda that's not already there. But we will have a public hearing on the 18th on this, and we invite you to come and bring all these items to the board and to the other side on the 18th.
Okay. All right. Well, when we look at our things, you know, when we make big setbacks on wind turbines, and then we use yesterday's technology on these CAFOs for what we're going to have tomorrow, it just seems maybe we could rethink what we want the future to be here. So I would ask you to consider what the technology can really be. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
May I make a comment?
Let's let her speak behind you here.
Hi. Carrie Jones, 41722 South 108th Road, Wymore. I'm going to make this short and sweet. I don't have any stats or anything. I am unable to make the meeting on the 18th. In 1974, my mom and dad moved to 41928 South 176th Road. When I was 5 years old, so it ages me a little bit. What I want to ask, when you guys go to vote, would you want this a half a mile and 300 feet from your house or from your parents' house? That's the distance that it is from my parents' house. It's closer to actually Sonia's. But I feel like there, from what I hear in the community, there's a lot of conflict of interest. Some of you have already made your mind and said in the public how you're going to vote, and it's going to go through. So I just ask you, when you make that vote, would you want that a half a mile from where you live and have lived for 49 years? Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am? Good morning, ma'am.
Margaret Haith, 104 West Granville, here in Beatrice. So I live in Beatrice. I'm not a farmer. but I am here this morning to speak and give my support to these people from Liberty. And the reason I'm here is because I give a darn. And that's not the word I was wanting to use, but since I'm in public, I give a darn because these CAFOs are trying to come into Gage County. It has been proven and documented, especially by North Carolina and Iowa, who have many CAFOs, and they've had them for a while, that some of these CAFOs are known polluters and they are harming the environment. And I know you've received a lot of documentation, and in fact, yesterday morning, I left another small packet for each of you at the county clerk's office yesterday morning. So if you haven't received those yet, you will be. But all we're asking is to please read it, all of it. I know it's a lot to ask, but isn't that your responsibility? Isn't that your job to be well informed on both sides of this issue so you can make an educated and, more importantly, a wise decision as to ultimately allowing these CAFOs in Gage County? Is that really going to be for the best for Gage County and its residents? And not just now, I'm talking about in the future. Now, there's another document that I would like everyone to read. It's from the NRDC, the Natural Resource Defense Council, and it's entitled CAFOs, What We Don't Know Is Hurting Us. What we don't know is hurting us. And it has a wealth of information. Unfortunately, I could not print it, so I will be emailing each of you with a copy of that PDF document. So you please, please read it. And the last thing, just remember, two wrongs do not make a right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak at public comment? Chair, do you want to make an additional comment?
Yeah. I just wanted to add a sidebar to Mr. Boyarko's comments about the
Please speak in the microphone just so that we have it on record?
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Brian Boyarko's comment or statement about methane digesters. About a half a century ago, I was alive, and I got a little booklet, and in that booklet, I was subscribing to Organic Garden, and they had in there a methane digester philosophy. So new technology, no problem with that, but it's been around for a half a century. Shouldn't be a big deal. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to come up and speak at public comment? We do appreciate you coming. It'd be nice when folks are happy to come too, but it doesn't always work.
Question.
I think you can ask. We can't respond to you.
Okay. Oh, you can't. Mm-hmm. Well, then, okay, what my concern is, because I keep hearing about everybody has to wait until the next council meeting on the 18th, is that correct? And that they can speak then, but is it like it is sometimes in city council meeting where they're only going to be limited to 3 minutes, or are you going, they are. They're only going to be able to say everything they want to say in 3 minutes?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I just thought we should get that clarified. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, with that.
A buckshot for that one.
With that, we will move on to.
Introduce my guy. I'm going to put him to work here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
As I leave the board here, I want to introduce a young man, Mr. Dvorak. He's our newest deputy here in Gage County, Braden. And I'm going to put him to work here in about 30 minutes. He's got to go take care of Jared Schreiner. So I wanted to just introduce him to the board, and you'll be seeing a lot of him, hopefully for quite a while.
Yep. I'm excited to be here. Just started about a month ago. Got sworn as an attorney 2 weeks ago, so I'm very new. But I chose I wanted to start my legal career in a small community. I'm originally from Dodge, Nebraska, my parents' farm. I grew up on the farm. And so wanted to find a small community to start my legal career in, and I'm happy to be here. I've enjoyed my time so far.
Awesome.
So it's nice to meet you all. I'm sure I'll be seeing you in the future. So thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Braden. B-R-A-D-O-N.
With that, we'll go into committee reports. Building and Grounds, Winter Lights, Mr. Swavely.
David and I met on Thursday. He'll come up and give us some information so we have it on file.
We're already late, I guess. We closed
the door. I know, so I've got some friends in Dodge.
So
they're all running away. They don't
want
to listen to us.
How many are
there?
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sounds like
We do have the snow removal bids today, and so we'll see how that goes. I did get a request from Nicole Stoner at the Gage County Extension Office. We've been kind of slowly fixing up things out there. They got the handicapped restrooms and stuff like that earlier. So she did ask. We do not have a handicapped door opener on the office that the extension office is in. There is one in the north meeting room area, but not at the for the extension office itself. That was $4,076 from Ham Glass. She asked for some new counters. We kind of rearranged the front end a little bit and for better customer space. And she asked for a 9-foot counter, a 7-foot side counter with solid surface rim and at top. That came in at $3,478.43. That would be taken out of their budget. And a fire alarm system. I did have a proposal for a fire alarm system, and then I did get a proposal for a notification. If there was ever fire out there, it would call out, and that came in at $1,950.
That's similar to the Veterans Office?
Yes, it would include 8 smoke detectors, a heat detector, one siren, and it'd have a keypad instead of the fire alarm system where it was zoned. So it would notify if there's anything going on there. So with those requests, I'd like to see if we could move forward with those. And
the countertop is coming out of their budget.
Yes, counters and countertop.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yes.
Any reports for this
one? And over at the detention center, they always have had insect issues, bug issues, since they do serve food over there and stuff. So they have had an exterminator come over. This guy is stepping down, so they did get two bids. One bid was for $225 every 2 months. The other came in at $400 every 2 months. There is a little difference on how they do things. So Trevor came up with those bids. I'll talk to him and get something going on that. And Holiday Lights Committee, when Masonry Construction is doing their work here, it is in their bids to take down the Christmas lights and put them back up. And so we thought this was a great time to just install new ones as they're putting them back up. So we did order 1,500 lights. They came in yesterday, so they will be putting those up as they continue the work around the tower. They're on the north side yet, and they're just about done with that besides the washing part. And then they are going to be bringing, we're planning on the lift. There's going to be a 120-foot boom lift coming probably on Monday, weather permitting, and getting it up close to the building. They'll start working on the south side and east and west side with that. After they get done with the high parts of that, they're going to take the 120-footer back, and they will bring in an 85-footer to get the rest of it. And I am going to order some acoustical panels. We put those up on third floor, and they've worked really good. I thought it would be nice to put some just on the west end of this hallway to cut down on the echoing sounds. And
timing of that nice statement timing. Is just gold.
Yes, they do. They help a lot. And I did, Applied Connective has been coming down, and when they were down last time, they did just kind of walk through our security system, and they did give a proposal for an update. So I'll keep that on file, and we can discuss
that. We need
later.
To add, if we're going to do something like that, we need to add the highway department extra cameras and stuff down
yes.
there, put it all together.
Okay. Sounds good. And thanks for the screenings. We filled in this little area there, so we're good to go.
You got that done already?
Brought it that afternoon for him.
Yeah, we had it in yesterday morning.
Must have got some pull.
Before it rained.
Yes. Yes, so, and that will be for the infill. And what we're planning on is trying to work out, they're going to do the tower weather permitting as much as they can. And when it gets colder, that we're going to just leave that little structure there. And, you know, if it gets cold, they could still finish up with that this late fall yet. So that's the plan.
Dave, as you have Applied Connective down, could you ask them to make sure there's a good Wi-Fi connection between the offices here?
That is in the plans, yes. They've
I had a request down the hall in one of the offices if they could have Wi-Fi inside there, not for the staff but for the public, so if there'd be a guest Wi-Fi that people could get in that's secure. And
I'm not sure if they can reach this, but that's what this is too. It's
in here? Great. Yeah, if you could work on that or just make sure that is it. I think the attempt was there. It just doesn't always work right now. But
everything's not installed. Yeah, I don't think we have all that.
Right. And it would be the access points. And that actually would even tie in if we would move forward with the security. That all comes into play with that also. But I know we've talked about it. I don't know where we're at on it, but I will.
Yeah, no, I know that they were talking about for the entire courthouse. They just have to get the access installed. So,
and that's where this would be, whatever, VLAN, or I don't know what you call it, but it would be separated, so it's just going to not through the county server. So
perfect.
Just through the Internet. And one new item I had was we've always had trouble with our stairwell lights. Either a ballast goes out or there's a motion sensor that goes out. And whenever we have to work on them, when we turn the breaker off, it actually takes out both stairwells. So I'm going to have that the breaker separated. And just we'll probably just put in the new LED lights in the stairwells. And so that's always been a problem getting taking care of those. So.
In our list of promises we were given from Windstream, we were supposed to get fiber down to the highway department.
Yes.
Do we know where we're at with Windstream on that?
I can check.
Would you ask them?
We've gone through this. And
I'm sure if we held payment as long as they've held service.
When we talked to somebody, it would get dropped because that person left. Several times that happened. But, I will follow up with that.
Cheaper for them to fire people than to run it. But I think it's been 3 years now. They promised they'd have it down there.
Yeah, and it has not been brought up lately. I haven't talked to them lately. But, yeah, we can put in a request for that.
That would be grand.
I know it comes close to their building. It just needs to get hooked up to their building. So
might let them know there's other providers in town again now.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Dave.
So, yes, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Oh, and I'll hang around for snow removal bid.
Okay.
When are we going to open them?
Do you want to open them now while we're in committee reports? We closed bids on time, but we did not open them.
We got one.
Hopefully moldable.
You only have one.
You want to open it now since we're in buildings?
We can.
Building grounds may as well.
David, we got one.
I'm a hard person to work for. Nobody wants to bid it.
It's from Beatrice Lawn Care.
No doubt.
You say that so sadly.
And I did contact two other removal companies.
Well, let me get back to the back here. Okay. This is a description of services for the parking lot, North Parking Lot, North Rock Parking Lot, Gage County Lots, East Sheriff Driveway, East Parking Lot, Courthouse Diagonal Parking, Courthouse South Diagonal Parking on Grant Street, Courthouse Driveway, Sheriff's Evidence Building, the West Entrance Driveway and South Side, Veterans Office Driveway to be done with a snow blower in a way where no snow will be piled in front of the building, okay? Snow piles to be placed in designated areas for all locations. lump sum dollar proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall is $700. Lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall is $1,000. Spreading ice melt and gravel in parking lot areas if needed is $350 a ton. Lump sum proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall on the sidewalks is $675. And a lump sum proposal for more than 6 inches of snow on the sidewalks is $995. Got it?
Okay. I guess. Yeah, in the sidewalk areas, we do that ourselves a lot of times unless we need the help. So that's always a good one to have. I would say
you get a real bad snow and you can't handle it, why then they can do it?
Yes. Most of them, besides the sand, actually are less than what we've had before. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
I know Beatrice Lawn Care, and they've always done a good job for us. So.
Do you want to review those and put it on a later agenda, or do you want to look at them today and...
All the specifications stayed the same, so I would be comfortable with moving forward with it now.
I guess I'd ask for a motion to accept and award the snow removal bid for 23-24.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any discussion on this? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with team and abstaining. Motion carries. Thank you, Dave and Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization, we went over things as we've been informed by the state. Although valuations have already gone up, expect additional valuation increases. That's not only in Gage County. That's pretty well across the board everywhere. Farm ground is not immune from this either this time. I think farm ground went up a little less this previous year, but as three-year-old dollar amounts are dropping off, new sales are coming on, it's pushing everything up again. So just be aware that may be coming. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Big ticket items, Applied Connective Technologies, $10,847.32. Gage County Transfer to Road Fund, $400,000. Region 5 Systems, quarterly, LB302, $19,767.50. Twin Rivers, 2021 Ford Expedition purchase, $49,099. U.S. Bank purchase credit cards, meals, supplies, etc. $10,245.60. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $39,616.25. RLT Construction, Township Gravel and Hauling, $54,376.98.
Thank you, sir. Veteran Service, Mr. Bates. Good morning.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just wanted to start out with, we had our Veteran Committee Board on the 28th. We did hire a new person, Rhonda Carey. She drank from the fire hose for about 3 days with Shirley. And so she's putting the pieces to the puzzle together yet, but she's doing a good job so far. So real happy with that. I have, we had no Nebraska veteran aid to report. We did have one county veteran aid, and that was for utilities to Beatrice Board of Public Works for $315.48. We had 20 deceased veterans from June of 2023 to September of 2023 in the county. The state has changed back to VetraSpec. I know we talked about them going to TVB, and well, they went to it. It didn't work out so well. Had a lot of issues with it, so they went back to VetraSpec. Not everything migrated back, but we were able to we're figuring all that out and getting everything worked out on that. So I think we got the bugs worked out on that already. I completed some County Veteran Service Officer continuing education in October. I haven't put my education, continuing education, into the NVA site yet because they started a new site. And things got really mixed up when they did that, and they haven't got that straightened out yet. They had showed me still not paying my dues, and that's because we changed our email address, and that's how they show if you paid your dues or not. So I got that straightened out with them. So I was able to get my DAV accreditation extended, so I'm good for that for a couple more years with DAV. The American Legion and our office are working together to do County Government Day with the schools on November 1st. I think registration, I believe right now we got it set up for 8:45, so hopefully we get to see a lot of you folks there for that. We've been having our buddy check meetings on the 22nd every month. It seems like it's growing more and more. It seems like we're catching a lot of other people from other counties, Lancaster County, Johnson County. It just seems like we're getting people from more around. So it keeps growing. And the EVETs, they had their tailgate event. It was a good event. I was a little disappointed. I wanted more veterans there than what there was. But the fundraising that we intended for it to do, that was successful. So keep putting the word out for veterans to be recognized by the County Board of Supervisors, and I need more volunteer drivers. I'm down to 3, and one is going up to get – he got disqualified for a while because he didn't know that he needed to go back up and get his physical again. So he's going to go up and get his physical, so he'll be able to drive again. So I'll be back up to 4 drivers. Pending any questions, that's my report. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Human Resource, Employee Relations, we'll have a closed session on some personnel issue coming up shortly. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything for us this morning?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is just a reminder today at 1:20 when your cell phones go off. Yeah. I know that you guys have gotten those notifications, but if you have your cell phone off, it's because you're in a meeting somewhere and you don't want to hear it. It's very possible when you turn it back on because you think you went over that 1:20 timeline that your phone may be activated too. So just a reminder, it is a purpose. It's a nationwide test. So, but yeah. As far as the storms last night, we in Gage County were fairly fortunate. It's good to have some moisture, though over the weekend we had 6 fires in the area just because of the dry conditions during the harvest season, of which included 2 combines. So we know that, you know, those dry conditions by 4 o'clock were really causing some hazards. So good to have some moisture. As you stated this morning, you know that we have set the 2 public hearings for you. PNZ heard the 2 special use permits last week, and those hearing timelines, Don has set those 2 times. So you have 2. First one is for the Helmke Agricultural Building, or I should say Generations 4 Agricultural Business, and that's set for 9:15 for you. And then at 9:30 will be the CAFO hearing, so for the Liberty Island Grove, for the applicants, Otto and Summit. So that's really all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wiggin.
Yep.
Klaus?
Chief, we do have a closed session just prior to adjournment for your other item as well.
Yeah, good morning.
You're not going to talk about every piece of paper.
I am not.
just clarify.
He just wants to look good.
this is proof of concept, as you requested. That's what this is.
Is that Gary's file?
Partially. Yeah. With the rest of it's on one other unknown board member.
On the top it just says prop.
What? Oh, this? Oh, it says board meeting. For reference. Oh. One inch of rain down in God's country. By the way, I'd like to report that. Other than that, what I did is I went through the clerk and her chief got a bunch of stuff to me yesterday, so I went through that, and then I printed different copies and made copies from the most current, I believe, contract and previous contracts for reference. Then I also went back through my original file from the contract prior, and that's the red line contract from the city, on that with my notes and different things that we had looked at. So I think what I've got is a packet for whoever ends up being on that committee, and whenever we meet, that I have that, I think, all ready to go to start the initial discussion and give some background for reading to those committee members that sit on that. So I think that we're prepared to begin that.
And I think Mr. Lytle is just going to take the law enforcement committee and head that up.
Correct.
So I guess we could get together whenever you want off to the side here afterwards or whatever and maybe look at a couple dates. I did email the sheriff a copy of that contract. He requested it as well and printed one off for him. He'll be back then, and he can begin reviewing that already. So
I did talk to Mr. Templemeyer again also about any proposals in combining sheriff's office and city police, and they said they're still open to it. It's just the big item is always who's in control of it. I told him, obviously, we feel the sheriff would have to be in control of anything like that. He said that's an item that maybe we start discussions on other items first and move up to that point, so maybe we can make some progress prior to that. That would also be a great conversation to have before any potential construction or anything else on any additional facilities that could come in the future, just because it'd be a great time to maybe have some amortization of size as we look at if we would ever build something, do anything different. All those things could fall into place at the same time.
And as a reminder for reference from the past, I think that was, you sent that to me, I think that's included in here, was the discussion to the formation of a communications board, and that has been governing board, yes, and that's been sitting idle for some time now. So that was one of the hot topics early on, even prior to when Chief Lang was there, that as a committee we can discuss that more and make some suggestions or ideas to further that discussion, you know, that the board can have down the road.
That formed right away, Doug?
Nope.
The request was that it would be formed within 6 months, if I remember right, and it never happened to my knowledge.
Is that over with yet?
I think that ship sailed.
Yeah.
So other than that, right now, I don't have anything.
You're thinking that there is a users group that is formed, and we do participate in that users group. The sheriff and probably actually chief takes care of the users group, and Lisa's involved with that. There's other members in the users group.
That's actually two different groups, I think, that you're referring to. One is a law enforcement users group, and then Lisa meets when they have, like, some evening user group meetings that involve all the rural fires and different fire groups and things of that nature, I believe. So
that's where I was at, kind of, actually.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I have one question for him, not to put him on the spot, because I should be asking Gus this, okay, but he keeps saying he's working on it. But
good. I'm ready.
But you know, we're looking for some storage space. You're probably aware of it. I'm sure Gus has talked to you about it. But well, David and his helper would be willing to help you move stuff if you got to move stuff, because we really would like to get some of that stuff moved.
Actually, yes. I think we're probably maybe further along on that than you might be aware of already. So with that area there that we met, and I met with the two evidence custodians and the day sergeant, and we already have a pretty good chunk of that moved out of there. The remaining items of that are saleable will go into that Connex, and then what we'll do is we've already started logging that those items into there, tracking what goes into the Connex for a sale, and then our proposal then will be a list of that items to get with Purple Wave and sell it kind of like one of the storage unit storage wars. Just you buy the whole Connex contents. It's instead of piecing everything out individually, this item's $1, $2, you know, that we would have photographs and a list to support that, and then we could just put it on Purple Wave. We don't have to have a day-long sale and make it clean and simple. That's going to be our recommendation.
That makes sense.
Yep. Will the Connex go also?
No.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Lytle?
I do not believe we have anything else.
With that, we will take a brief recess at 10 o'clock, approximately 5 to 10 minute recess.
At all. Sounds good.
At 10. Right.
You're on.
We'll reconvene at 10:08 on the clock. We'll go into Road and Bridge. Mr. Juergens. Ms. Haxby.
Swallow that. Hurry up.
We cut things, fix things, mill things. We were discussing blade operator training, possibly adding some stop signs in Holmesville for side issues. Looking at, we were calling for the three CMP projects. Mark, I was going to ask you if you could give us those locations for those three CMP projects. I'm going to finish here. And then we have six townships complete of the spring of 2023 allotments. The RAISE grant, we are working on modifying that for the next year's application. I did get a notification that they were looking at opening that soon. So I'm going to have to reevaluate, I think, how I'm going to put those RAISE and the BIP grants together, because if the BIP is not complete before the RAISE grant is applications are due, then I want to make sure that we're applying for them, splitting them out in the best way to receive those grants. So I'm going to look at that a little again. And then Mark's putting up counters to give us more data to get those grants completed.
The ones on Hickory were pulled yesterday. They already downloaded. Copies are on my desk.
So we'll keep adding those as much information
then,
as we can to those.
This week, DeWitt, Claytonia, Blacktop, and Bridges are on counter, so we'll have those downloaded and copies next week.
Would it make sense to just keep moving those and counting?
As often as possible, just keep
every week
rotating
just
them through
rotating
so
them.
We can pull data.
Fantastic.
And then we've had some really good response for tree removal. Landowners are actually contacting Mark and letting them know they're doing it before we talk to them. So that's good news. We're going to be working on following up from townships, too, making sure that we're getting our right-of-ways cleaned up. And those CMP project locations, I was just wanting to...
The first one is job number 1072. It is at North 1 Paddock, which is Sage Road, just east of South 10th. So it's between Big Indian Lake and south of Wymore. Mm-hmm. It's on an east-west road. Little wood structure that'll be getting replaced with triple 72 inches CMPs. The next one is at North 33 Paddock, which is Willow Road just west of Southwest 118. That'll be twin 72 CMPs. And the last one is job number 1232 at North 26 Island Grove, which is Pine Road just east of 162nd. That would be twin 96 inch CMPs.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Twin 96 inch?
Yes, sir.
I've got.
With that, we'll go into the discussion for a resolution to formally change the name from Region 5 Community Human Services Program to APACE and approve signing of First Amendment to the amendment of the formation of Region 5 Community Human Services Program under the Interlocal Cooperation Act. I guess I'll turn that over to Emily, if you want to take it from here, just since you're with Region 5.
I'll
thank you.
I will let them do their
thank you.
Let you guys let them do their presentation first.
Perfect. Well, good morning. My name is Matt Kosick. I'm the CEO of Region 5 Services, joined here today with Sarah Kramer, who's our Chief Human Resources Officer, and Todd Scholes, who's our Director of Quality. I'll talk a little bit about why we embarked on this process. I'll talk about why we chose the name of PACE, and then I'll talk about the process and why I'm here today. So first off, our organization has been around since 1973. We were named at that time essentially by the state of Nebraska because at that time the institution was the only option for individuals with disabilities. And at that time, state government came in and essentially made it so the counties and the state would be able to provide community-based supports where folks lived. We are now, the first page here, I'll call your attention to the chart here. The left side of the chart is our counterparts across the state. So we have region 1 through 6, and you'll note that each one of them does not use their original name. So originally they were all, region 1, whatever, region 2, whatever. So they have all changed their name. And the reason for that is folks with disabilities, families of those with disabilities have choice in who their provider is. Back when this was set up, there was no choice. If you lived in Beatrice and you wanted community-based services, you used Region 5 because we were your service provider in the area. But sometime in the 80s, 90s, that changed, and now folks have choice. And what I mean by that is it kind of has this a bit of a retail feel to it. Parents and guardians will be able to choose whichever provider there are. There's well over 100 providers in the state now, so the market has definitely changed. And we feel one thing that we hear a lot and some of the research that we did is that our name has an institutional sound to it. We get confused with things like the regional center or something to that. And so our name as it was essentially hurts us with regards to growth and being able to fulfill our mission. The second side of that chart is the second reason for why we've embarked on this process. Region 5 Systems is our counterpart organization. We are completely separate from them, aside from the same geographic area and the same board. When Mr. Juergens was listing off the payees there and he said Region 5 Systems, the untrained ear would hear that and think, oh, Region 5. That is not our organization, but we do get lumped in with them on a pretty much a daily basis. We've had folks come to us in mental health crisis, folks discharged for their first taste of getting out of more intense care, and we have to send them away because our name is confusing. They hear Region 5, they think us. And I know it happens on the other way too. So Region 5 Systems, there's obviously no change with them. They're a separate entity, but we want to be able to create that distance between our two organizations. We chose a PACE. So the name itself means traveling at the same rate as something else or being alongside something. And I think of the work we do, I think that's just the perfect metaphor for the work we do. We live with individuals with disabilities. We work with them. Whatever they need, we will meet them where they are and help them achieve a meaningful life. The process has been long. The process has been hard. Renaming a 50-year-old organization is not an easy task. So I can say that from the perspective of the process has been long. So we originally approved the funding to start the process was approved in our Region 5 budget last year in 2022. We We contracted with a marketing firm. They're based out of Lincoln. What they did, they went through, I'd say we probably worked about 8 months with them. First off, they offered a survey up to our staff, to our families, to our board members, and they were asked questions like, what do you think of when you think of Region 5 services? What, you know, those type of questions essentially paint the picture of our look and feel, our brand. And so from those guideposts, they gave us suggestions. They gave us a lot of suggestions. They gave us bad suggestions. We went back and forth for several months until a PACE was a suggestion. And like I said, that just kind of jumped off the page for us. During the May meeting, I did share confidentially with the board the new name. It's been a challenge because we are a public entity in doing this because, you know, things are public for us. So trying to minimize confusion as best we could, but that was discussed at the May board meeting. In June, we approved the budget, which included money for rebrand. And then at our most recent board meeting, September 11th, the name change was approved by our board. So why I'm here today, when the board approved it, that essentially put the wheels in motion to essentially change the name. I'm here today for kind of that final piece of the puzzle. And it's a procedural piece, essentially. We're governed by the original interlocal agreement that was signed back in 1974. That agreement, first off, is, you know, it's kind of the guidance of the work we do. The last two pages, and I'd shared with Dawn previously to the amendment, so the last two pages of your packet that I handed out are a copy of the resolution. And what this essentially does is it says Gage County is a part of Region 5 and the Region 5 Governing Board. Essentially, anytime the original name appears in that original agreement, it switches the language to a PACE. So with that, I would ask for your support in adopting what the board approved and essentially make it that final step of that legal change. I'm open for questions.
On our budget, says Region 5 services that we're giving about $40,000. Then we also have Region 5 substance abuse. Can you tell us, if just the board, what that all goes to?
So we are not substance abuse. So the $40,000 amount is that original county funding request that we do. So that was set up way back when that was the only funding mechanism for the regions. I'm actually looking at next year's budget cycle in making that more of just a lower set fee for the counties to participate in, because that money, the funding structure has changed. And whereas with Region 5 systems and substance abuse and mental health and all that, those are going directly to programs, the funding that comes in for are from the county for us just goes into our general operating fund. So it's not segmented for any one specific thing, but we are investing that in every community that we're in. So hopefully that answers the question.
I guess I would think Region 5 has a pretty powerful presence here. Senator Byers was always a very proud member on the on the board and really proud of the names. As far as I know, too, Region 5.
Yeah, and so the question of why change the name after 50 years, great question. But the reality is the name, just kind of going back to that original feel, people have choice, and our mission is to provide support for people with disabilities. They have choice in who their provider can be. Parents today don't really know what the institutional era was like. But when they see something like Region 5 services, it's still it's not like the others, and it really sticks out as far as having that old-time kind of sound to it. And so it actually makes us difficult to fulfill our mission because of that. But, yeah, that was part of the process with the marketing firm, just kind of reviewing that, really finding out how much we are known in the community. And since we still have Region 5 systems, you know, if there was not Region 5 systems, I wouldn't be as strong of an advocate for changing our name. But the dual duty there of not only does it, you know, sound institutional, but we get confused all the time with them. I feel that side of it, we're actually doing a disservice to the community. So,
how much does Gage County contribute annually?
I believe it's 38,000. It was around 40. You mentioned 40.
About 40,000. Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
This morning on my way to work, I heard on the radio an advertisement for Region 5 and the name change to APACE.
Yeah.
Which kind of surprised me because I thought, well, it's on the agenda to vote on that today.
Sure.
It seemed like it was premature to hear an ad like that.
Basically. So I understand how you would think that. So essentially the name changed and it became public when the governing board voted on it. That's been just the challenge of this. You know, every commission, so I've gone to all 16 counties to have this heard. Each county has press. As it's being out there, it's in the public. So essentially the train is going on it. With this, asking for the amendment is kind of that legal change. And that piece is it's kind of that final step to the piece to get us legally compliant. However, the change itself occurred in our board meeting when we voted.
Okay.
How many other counties have already done that?
14 counties have approved it. Gage is voting hopefully today. Seward County has voted. They had issue with the process, so they voted it down, but they are set to approve it next week. I've got their back on the agenda. Ken, our board representative, has agreed to bring it back and approve it next week.
I have a few things.
Yeah.
So I was one of the board does know, I was one of those no votes. And the reason was, first of all, the budget for it was $200,000. Now, you did give us the breakdown, and it wasn't quite that yet. But with the marketing and all that other stuff, it does come up to quite a bit of money. The other part of that is that with that, we did meet on September 11th. In the packet that they handed out to you is on September 6th that they are announcing to the county officials, but as of September 5th, it was announced to the employees. So before the board had voted, this was being announced as a name change, which I drive, it takes me 45 minutes to get there. I sit there for 4 hours, mm-hmm. and I'm in part of that board. So the announcement came before mm-hmm. we had voted. Also, I do know that Seward County was a unanimous no, and I've talked to their board members, too, because I went there for something else, and I don't think that that's going to change. Mm. So that is why I oppose this. The order of which it took place was wrong. That's just where I sit on
that.
Sure.
Just to address the September 5th, so... on September 5th, a couple things happened on that day. Our volunteer advisory committee met that day and approved the name change. Also, once that committee meets, the board agenda packet becomes, I send that out, that becomes public information. That's why we let employees know on that day. We the board had knowledge of the rebrand and the name. All indications were at that time that everything, you know, there was approval all around. And so really the employees were the last piece to know what the new name would be. And so just for the sake of you know, limiting confusion, we let employees know, but did say that the board would be voting on it. So that was kind of the caveat to that.
Well, on that day, you did need 8 votes to pass it, and you literally only got 8. You did have 4 that opposed it, and yet there were cups already pre-made with that name on it to hand out. Mm-hmm. So the decision really was made before it came to the board, which needed that vote to make it official. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have that problem.
Sure. Well, and to that point, too, the approval was done through the budget process, through, you know, previously talking through the name and the second budget process as well. So by all accounts, this process followed every other process we've done. Like I said, every indication I had is that everything was on track. And that's how we did it. The only thing that's different about this is that is because this touches the interlocal agreement, and that's why that secondary step was needed.
The secondary being the board to approve it?
Individual county boards. Yeah.
The
full board of Region 5, when they voted, you did mention, yes, we had eight votes, which essentially passed the measure, and so now the final step is county boards. And so the county boards are really, it's not about the process or the name, it's more about that interlocal agreement and just changing that the technicality of the old name versus the new name. So
the county representatives that attend your meetings, are they privy to all this going on, or is just done by an executive board?
All committee members are as privy as their, I mean, the information I shared to the whole board. So.
Well, but I mean, beforehand, when you decided to try and look at a different name, mm-hmm. Did the board know that you were doing that?
Yep. Yep. Full board. It was voted on through budget process. We discussed. And obviously, we didn't know the new name in 2022,
yeah.
But this is something we're looking at. This is why was discussed with the full board with budget approval, both in 2022 and 2023.
That was part of your budget, mm-hmm. to look at renaming it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Matt, it does look like, from somebody sitting on the outside looking in, when you have the exec board vote and then you announce the name before the whole board votes, mm-hmm. it does look like the whole board has little meaning to you when you do it that way. And I think that's where Dave was going a little bit. And I guess it's to hear you say, you know, that you followed all the processes, that to me, it doesn't look like you did, and it's kind of disappointing to hear you try and make it sound like you did, because otherwise you wouldn't release this to people and say the name has changed before a vote. Whatever. Procedurally, sure. It seems like this was off.
Sure, sure. You mentioned the executive committee voting. What
you said that it had passed before you put this letter out. The exec committee or whoever it was had voted on this name change before it went to the board.
Advisory committee. So that's
advisory.
Yeah, so that's the second committee.
So it was the advisory committee. Then.
So that's a volunteer committee. We have an advisory committee and a governing board. Advisory committee meets, essentially vets the work of what happens for the governing board. Those minutes are included in each of our packets, but. But it wasn't that they approved it. It was that it becomes public. And that's why, like I said, we let employees know, also with the caveat that the board still has to approve it. So
who's on the advisory board? So we have our board that we have representatives that are they people from the regular board?
It's a separate volunteer committee. So.
So that probably caught the regular board off guard even more. The exec committee, were they briefed on that before it went to the?
So every board member would have had
the same.
You
don't have an exec board.
We do have an executive committee of our board. But when I talk about the budget approval, that was the full board approving our budget. And that happened twice. The discussion in our board meeting in May was with the full board. It wasn't with an executive committee. The process, you know, our board, you know, I know members of the board have a variety of tasks and responsibilities that they do. So our board is purely governing. They tend to not get involved with, you know, lower level things. And so, like I said, the process that we follow is the board essentially, you know, approves our operating guidelines. They approve my role, and then we update the board as time goes on, essentially.
And this is more just my curiosity. Yeah. That advisory board, are they involved in your budget process?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do they see it before your actual board sees it?
Yes. Yep, they see it the week before, essentially look at it, vet it. The Region 5 Systems, I believe, has a similar process where they have a behavioral health committee that, you know, advisory works in an advisory status.
I just ask because yep. I've never been in the nuts yep, and bolts yep. on, in your
it's a statutory It's a statutory request or statutory thing that we have to have that advisory committee as well.
And like but, I say, that was just out of curiosity.
But I will say, the governing board can trump the advisory committee. So, you know, if there's things that they pass that our full board does not pass, that is a thing that can happen. So
that could have overturned, you know, when you sent out this notification to mm-hmm. your employees prior to a board vote, that is where my problem is.
Sure.
That board has the final decision and to have those cups made beforehand. So yes. I know for a fact that Seward County is a no, because I've talked to them about it, and they will not. So how do you plan on moving forward? You already have one county saying no. I mean, there are options, you know, because we do something with AMG Technology, who is DBA, doing business as NextLink. So that would also be an option as well.
It would be. So my understanding, I'm not a lawyer, so I know that, but my understanding with this is the path of changing this with the interlocal agreement is the most straightforward way to change it. We could do a DBA, but obviously the part of that that I'd like to not go through, if at all possible, is that we have to register for, you know, trade name and all that, move forward with the DBA with public notices in the various communities, because if, in the case of Seward, let's say, they voted it down, the public sees that. So the public notice will have to go out that explains, you know, this was voted down. However, this, you know, the company can still operate in this manner. So I mean, that is an option. I'd prefer not to go that route, but again, it's you know, it's essentially once it hit the public, I knew the floodgates would be opened with it.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the name change.
Second.
Moved by Terry, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on Ms. Haxby?
I'll just say up front, I'm still going to be opposed to it. I think that it went about in the wrong way. And if this is the way that board wants to go, you should find somebody else to drive 45 minutes, spend 4 hours, and sit there and be a rubber stamp, because I think that that's a waste of my time.
Mr. Lytle?
Procedurally, this just does not. This seems off. It's something about it just doesn't smell right to me. You know, you don't have your vote. You make up cups with the new name. You put out a letter saying that it's a new name. How did that affect an 8-4 vote that might have been a 6-6 vote or a 7-5 or a 5-7? I don't know. I just, something about that doesn't stink. I guess the facts are we're down the road and we're past that already, but the people that are paying the bills, excuse me, shouldn't say paying the bills, but, you know, the governing body that is putting money in this pot, you know, we're not taking their vote before decisions are made. Something just seems off to me on that. And I don't, yeah, and maybe it's partly because I don't, you know, I've sat on this board a while,
and maybe I should understand it better. I don't fully understand it. But I guess just something about that process just seems off to me.
Counsel?
One thing that might help is just look at what we're in this on our local for. Has that changed? I mean, people change names a lot because it feels good, it's warm and fuzzy, it's green, whatever it is, okay? I don't think that's any of your concerns much. Now, I understand Emily driving over for a meeting. Somebody didn't bother to notify her. Somebody screwed up, and he's nice enough not to throw him out here under the bus, and that's fine. But I think look at what you're in the agreement for, okay? I don't care if they call it. I'll be careful.
I was going to say, this might be my time to caution you, Counselor.
So, you know, the bottom line is, what's the product we're in this interlocal for? Are we still getting that, despite that we're going to change it, you know, as far as what Don looks for as far as the claim and the name? And, you know, yeah, there's, you talk to three different attorneys, you get three different opinions. They could have done a DBA. They could have just waited until the next interlocal and changed it. They could have had an internal memo that basically says we assume all the responsibilities and obligations of our previous or our predecessor, then send that notice out to all the creditors, debtors. They did it this way. Other than, yeah, again, getting deep into it, we probably find somebody that went, oops, shouldn't order them coffee mugs.
At the end of the day, I guess, Roger, I'm 95% in that camp that you just spoke about there, Roger, but the other part of me says, you know, we're spending money on marketing and a search committee to change name and all this stuff, which went through the budget. So obviously people were approving that and whatever else. So, you know, there's 5% of me that just says something just seems off about doing it this way. And at the end of the day, yes, we're getting the services.
Think about the Homestead Monument. What we went through about 3 years ago. Yeah. I kept scratching my head going, it's still the Homestead to me.
Right.
But on the national level and the budgeting issues in Washington, that little name change made it, at least that's what everybody told us. So we all jumped on board that
point.
Ship. Well, I don't know if it's valid. I just, sometimes I scratch my head and then realize I got some other stuff on my desk I need to get to.
I always thought.
Point, Gary's.
We've got a board that decisions are made on before our members get to at Boswa. Mr. Dorn and Mr. Juergens are on that. That's a constant irritant where we give money. I guess as our board works, we don't have an executive committee because we're all the executive committee. We do things very openly and together here, not necessarily agreeing, but all together. Mm-hmm. Other boards I'm on where we do have an exec team, we're very cognizant all the time that that exec team makes our decisions, and maybe our chairman there makes the day-to-day management decisions even at times, mm-hmm. but prior to any decisions, we turn it over to the board, not the volunteer board, as important as they are.
Mm-hmm.
We have the actual board vote on things, and like Emily said, it seems like just a rubber stamp, and if it is a rubber stamp, it's not good for you, the advisory committee, or the organization as a whole, would be my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Although elected people are not always experts on anything,
sure,
it's still their job.
Sure.
That would be the issue I would have to the procedure. I know it all comes down to procedure all the time, and it's very boring, but we try to follow procedure. And those decisions are made through that context. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any other comment on this? And just so I say it correctly, we have a motion by Juergens and a second by Dorn, I believe.
Yep. Yes.
Anything else from the board? Please vote. Motion carries on a 5-2 vote with Haxby and team in voting nay. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you all. We have on our agenda a discussion on a CAFO. We are going to, unless there's a specific item that the board wants to talk to the board about. We're going to X that on this committee or on this board meeting because we have a public hearing in 2 weeks, and procedurally that would be incorrect to talk about that prior without notification to both sides. That we would be talking. We'll be getting both sides at the public hearing in 2 weeks. I would encourage all of you to make sure you've taken a look at the road, done any homework that you need to. We have been presented some information here today and previously, but take a look. I know you guys have been looking as we've gone. Mr. Jenkins.
Address that question now that I was asked?
Yeah, that'd be a good time to. Well, do you want to do it at the public hearing?
I don't care.
Probably next week would be there.
Yeah, that way it's there for everybody to hear.
Okay. 2 weeks, yes.
Yeah.
I just need Roger.
If you would have any conflict, or if any board members would have any conflict on anything we're doing, we do have some forms here just for conflict of interest forms. If there's something that comes up and you're going to have a conflict, there's yet another form for us to fill out. But if that does come up, just let us know and we'll get that. With that, if there's nothing else right now, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:43 necessary for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual for a brief personnel discussion.
So moved.
I'm going to give it to Swavely, second by Lytle. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Second by Doran, please vote. Six in favor with Haxby voting nay. We are in closed session. You had a no vote.
So did you.
Okay. Redoing this thing.
We will go back into open session at 11:24 on the clock. Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you for your guidance today, Counselor.
I do have a question.
Questions
Don,
were supposed
have
to be on Monday.
Have we heard anything, or where are we at with the agencies that we contribute to having proof by a state statute?
The ones I've gotten, I put in the budget.
Everybody provided proof other than two and EMS agreements we approved today. They're going out today with a year extension. There's two agencies, Hope Crisis and...
Well, Blue Valley Community Action, they gave a cited a statute, but that's our county general assistance.
Send it to the auditor. They said that's not the right.
I mean,
so the auditor said.
If we didn't, well, I mean, it could be if we hired them to do it, but we administer it in house. We did hire Marion, what was her name? Mulder. I think she administered out at. Department of Health and Human Services when it was out to college. She did that for years, and they brought it back in-house. So,
Roger, did you see any of the stuff on Five Rivers, also known as the board that Eddie sits on, in the news?
Five Rivers RC&D?
Yeah. We finally started participating in that again, and now there's a fraud case.
Eddie started participating and went all to hell.
we haven't given any money there.
You're
but
still on record here.
Oh,
so.
Okay. We'll leave that go for now. That's not anything that Mr. Dorn was involved with.
Oh, he's innocent.
But no, I didn't know if he'd heard anything. Anything else for the good of the order?
Nope.
If not, we'll adjourn at 11:25.